Psalm 107. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you can't keep up. If you don't have a King James Bible, it won't read right. Amen. It's King James Baptist Church, and we use King James. There's a lot of reasons for that. Somebody asked me about it sometime. I'd be glad to take 2 or 3 hours and explain it to you. Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storms a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's pray. Father, help us. We ask You for grace to preach, liberty to preach, and most of all, oh God, an unction, a touch from the Holy Spirit, an empowerment, an enablement to preach the Word of God. And my Father, we'd ask You that You give us that just now as we prepare to speak. Descend upon this place, touch every heart, prepare it for the Word of God. Lord, may the Holy Spirit move in our midst and do a work that will go on and on and on after this day and this message are over. I pray, oh God, glorify Thyself today. Speak to the heart of Thy children. And Lord, if there any be lost or out of the way, I pray, oh God, speak to them this day. Be with other preachers across the land, around the world, in China's underground church, in Korea's underground church, my Father, in the Middle East where they're persecuted for naming the name of Christ. Bless them today. Give them a day of liberty that they might rejoice in the things of God. Lord, they might have a day of worship without fear or dread of persecution. May the Holy Spirit move every preacher, every evangelist, every Sunday school teacher. Lord, every missionary. Lord, we care not about their denomination. If they preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray, oh God, bless them this day. We ask it now in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want to bring you a little message this morning. This will be the third message in our series on they that go down to the sea in ships. We have a series, 6 messages, on ships and sailors and the sea. It is amazing how much nautical information there is in the Word of God. It's scattered all through the Bible. And God uses illustrations and metaphors from the sea and from the deep and from sailors and from ships all through the Word of God to explain and make clear spiritual truth. And so it's our desire this morning to give you some truth from the Word of God and use some nautical things to illustrate those truths. I pray that we can make things clear and simple. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did, but then He was God. And sometimes we take the simple and complicate it. He took the complicated and made it simple. I want to bring a message this morning entitled, The Desired Haven. And that comes from verse 30. It said, then are they glad because they be quiet, talking about the waves are still. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Now you say, well, what is a haven? Well, it's not a term we use a lot anymore, but it's still a good term. It doesn't need to be changed. You just need to use a dictionary. Amen. All those words in that King James Bible that folks find to be archaic and difficult and outdated, most of them are still good words. You just need to, instead of changing the Bible, use a dictionary. You only got to look it up one time and you know what it means forever after that. Now, there are a couple old archaic words like I trow not, you know. Trow, that's, I mean, really not hard to figure out in context, though. You know, I mean, if you just average intelligence. But I'm going to read you a definition from Noah Webster's semi-inspired dictionary from 1828, the original English dictionary. Every Christian ought to have one. Under the word haven, it has a definition that says, a harbor, a port, a bay, recess, or inlet of the sea, or the mouth of a river, which affords good anchorage and a safe station for ships. Any place ships can be sheltered by the land from the forces of tempest and violent sea. So a haven is a place of safety, a place of rest, place of security. And it can be almost any place as long as it provides the necessary shelter, safety, or rest. Amen. It can be an inlet of a river that dumps into the sea. It can be a bay. It can be a lagoon. It can be almost anything as long as if you put a ship in it, it protects it from the fierce waves and the fierce winds. And so we want to look at today places of rest for the soul, places of rest for mankind, places that we can go to find love and peace and quietness, gentleness and help from the storms and troubles of life. Now, let me... If you don't read your Bible, you're going to have a hard time this morning keeping up because I need to go several places. And that's the reason we encourage people to read their Bible. If you read it and you are familiar with the stories that we use, it's much easier for you to get something out of the message. If you don't read, most of the time you've got no idea in this world what the preacher's talking about because you can't put the passage together because you never saw them before. Amen? So if you read your Bible, it really will help you get a lot more out of church. Now, back in Psalm 104 in verse 26, the Bible said, there go the ships, there is that Leviathan that thou hast made to play therein. Now, in Psalm 104, there's a picture there of this dragon, Leviathan. Now, if you look up most of the modern day commentaries, you'll find that he's an alligator, a hippopotamus, a rhinoceros, or some other fictional animal. The truth is, Leviathan is a dragon. So how do you know that? Because I read the entire Bible. Amen. And Leviathan is a picture of the devil. You say, how do you know that? Because in Job chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41, God talks about Leviathan. You know what he said about him? He said, upon the earth there is not his like. So there's nothing on the earth like Leviathan. He said that he is the king of the children of pride. Who is that? What was the first sin? Satan's sin was the first sin, and his sin was the sin of pride. How do you know he's a dragon? Because in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he said that old dragon, now listen to the words, you have to pay attention to words. The Bible is made out of words, 810,677 of them. Words. He said, that old dragon that is called Satan and Lucifer. What is the devil? He is the dragon in the deep. What do we call him? We call him Lucifer. We call him Satan. Those are his titles. What is he? He's a dragon. I don't believe in dragons. Well, you know, Dr. Upmanster used to say that, you know, the Bible is not hard to understand, it's hard to believe. So, back in Psalm 104, verse 26, and down through there, you find that the ships are people. They're all kind of ships. You know why? They're all kind of people. Amen. When I was in boot camp, my company commander said, it takes all kind of people to make the world. And he said, we got them. He was absolutely right about that. Then there's Leviathan, who is Satan, which we just explained. The sea is the sea of life, and the storms that come are the storms of life that arise out of the sea and bother us and trouble us in our journey across the sea. Our objective is to go from one side of the sea to the haven on the other side, and we want to arrive safely. But we have several things that hinder that. One, the devil is a hindrance. It is his job to play among the ships and to sink them. Then there are the storms that arise out of the sea. They can be financial. They can be family. They can be job related. They can be health issues. They can be almost any kind of storm that rises up and hinders your progress, that slows you down, that wearies you or wears you out or causes you dismay, apprehension. Those are storms. Some are big and life-threatening. Some are little and of no consequence and easily handled. But you never know what kind of storm is coming in. You never know where it's coming from. You never know how long it's going to last. What you are sure of, that it's coming. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And boy, you think you're going to get through this life saved or lost without trouble? You're just delusional. That's your problem. It's not going to happen. By the way, the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. People say, oh, it's hard being a Christian. It's hard being lost, too. Now, let's face it, it's just hard. Now, so in Psalm 107, we see that we want to go to the haven of rest, and that at some point God quiets the waves and we arrive at the haven of rest. In Psalm 104, we see that there are obstacles and opposition to our arriving at that desired haven. Then in Acts chapter 27 and verse 8, and that whole chapter, there's 44 verses, I think, in Acts chapter 27, and all 44 verses deal with Paul on board a ship where he left his homeland and he's trying to sail to Italy to see Caesar. And the whole chapter is taken up with a storm and how it batters the ship and how ultimately the ship is broken in pieces and how the people escape off onto the island of Melita and the barbarous people there take care of them. And you should be familiar with that whole story. Now, in Acts chapter 27 and verse 8, the Bible said, and hardly passing it, we came to a place called the Fair Haven. That's what we're talking about, right? A haven. They said, we came to a place called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasa. Now, so here's the story. Paul's on the boat, and they set sail. They're supposed to be going to Italy. Paul is under arrest. They've sent him to see Caesar for his crimes because he was a Roman citizen, and he said, I appeal unto Caesar. And they said, thou hast appealed unto Caesar thou shalt go. And so they load him on the boat, give him a centurion and a bunch of soldiers, and they sail him off to Italy. En route, they have to make a number of stops. One of the places they had to stop was called the Fair Havens, and it's a nice place for ships to stop and anchor down and resupply and refurbish and refresh and all those kind of things. And of course it's moving on into winter time, and so they stop there and they do all those things. It's a nice safe haven, but winter's coming on and the ocean gets rough and storms come, and you need to be in a very safe and very secure place in the winter time because of the storms that come up in that part of the world in the winter. And so they take counsel. He said, and the more part, because it was not commodious to winter in. It was a good place in the summer and the spring, but it was not a good place in the wintertime. It was not secure enough to handle the wind and the storms that arise in the wintertime. And so everybody said, Let's go. Let's find a better place to spend the winter. Paul said, we need to stay right here. They said, no, no, we're going to go. And so they disregard what Paul has to say, and they leave. They're not gone any time until they are caught in the midst of a terrible storm called Euclidon. And it's kind of like a hurricane or a really bad tropical storm. It dashes the ship up and down. The wind blows fiercely. There's heavy torrential rain. There's winds of gale force. I mean, it's just a terrible storm. And you got to remember, they're in a little wooden boat. I mean, they're in no Queen Mary. Somebody say amen. This is not a Carnival cruise line. They got 270 plus people on this little boat, barely 200 feet long. I mean, it's bad in good times, and it's impossible in bad times. So they're out sailing, and the storm comes up. But they done left the fair havens behind looking for a place to winter. You know, we're growing up, and life looks good, and we're healthy, and our mind is sharp, and we're ambitious, and we want to launch out into the deep. We're not worried about winter time. We're not worried about storm. We're not worried. Matter of fact, I don't know about you, but when I was 17, 18, 19, I wasn't worried about nothing. And I wasn't worried about nobody. Amen? Well, when I was 17, 18, if you didn't like it, we just whoop them. Somebody say amen. I wasn't worried about much anything when I was young. And if somebody said, let's take this on, let's go here, let's do that, I'd have been all for it. And so with most of y'all, then you run into trouble. I wish I had been as big as I thought I was. I wish I'd been as tough as I thought I was. I wish I'd have been as, well, I can't go there. My goodness, the storms come up out of nowhere. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're coming. And you think, well, I'm young and strong and feeling my oats, you know, full of vigor and vitality. I can handle pretty much anything. Then you get hit with that Euclidon. And, buddy, you don't know which way to go. The sky's turned dark. And the rain is pelting down. The wind is blowing. The ship is rocking and rolling. You're saying, oh, my God, what have I done? Storms come, you know what we do? We seek for a haven. We look for a place of safety. We look for a place to rest. We want to get out of the storm. We don't want to face it anymore. Now, we thought we could whoop our weight in Wildcats yesterday, and today we are on our knees begging and beseeching God for deliverance. Somebody say amen. It is amazing to me, and the older I get, the more amazed I am how little it takes to put Superman on his knees. Amen. My goodness gracious, all you need is a little age on you to realize you ain't half bad. Somebody say amen. So where do we turn? Well, we look for a haven of rest. We look for something to deliver us. Often, we look for a haven in the storm. Maybe it's a financial storm or a medical storm. You know, one of the great havens for those kind of things is money. Did you know the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 that money answereth all things? Money is your friend. Make friends with money. Don't let money own you. Don't let money control you. Don't make that your objective. But if you can get it lawfully and legally and morally and ethically, get all you can. Amen. Say why? Because there's going to be some storms come up where it's real handy to have it. Somebody say amen. If you don't have money, the next best thing is insurance. Amen. Listen, a lot of the storms of life, you can find a haven of rest if you have the resources to battle the storm. And they work. I don't know why super spiritual people are always wanting to say, oh, don't worry about money, don't worry about insurance, just live by faith. The Bible said, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And Dr. Ruckman used to say, that's about two doves or two snakes to one dove. Amen. God doesn't want us to be fools. God gave us a mind. God gave us ability. God expects you to use it. Amen. I mean, the burden on God would be a lot less if some of his people had used their head. Hello? Now, so sometimes when the storms come, what we need to do is we find a haven, and a lot of times money or resources will be a safe haven. They can take care of things. Amen? Well, I can remember when we first got married about 1,000 years ago, about the end of the last millennium, I think. And y'all wouldn't believe it, but when I got married back in 1962, and our anniversary was yesterday, Friday, 54 years. I've done pretty, look at me. That's not bad, is it? All things considered. Now, what you'd understand was that I was 6'3" and weighed 235 pounds 54 years ago. This is all that's left. Where was I at before I made myself laugh? We were looking for security and a haven. We didn't have nothing. The first apartment we ever rented was $35 a month. A month. We shared it with the cockroaches. It was right under one of them great big trees that was full of Spanish moss. And there was thousands of cockroaches in there about this long. And they were big enough, you get one on this side and one on that side, they could carry you off. We heard them many a night debating whether to eat them here or take them home. If we'd have had an emergency or a need, we'd have been up the creek. Amen. If the old washing machine had quit working, we didn't have the money to get it fixed. Anybody ever been in a boat like that? Amen. I mean, the littlest storm, just a little thunder shower come up, and you weren't ready to handle it. Amen. Well, I tell you what, it's a real blessing. After a few years, you know, if the washing machine breaks, you just go down and write a check for a new one. Glory be to God. Somebody say amen. Now sometimes it's not financial, and your savings and your insurance and that kind of stuff won't do it. Sometimes you have a storm in your life, and the best shelter you can find here on this old earth is family and friends. I don't know what we'd do sometimes if we didn't have people that cared about us. If we didn't have people we could turn to. People say, well, you ought to turn to God. I understand that. I think you ought to turn to God and your friends at the same time. You know, listen, God gave us people and family. We're supposed to be a unit. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to be there for each other. Amen? And I know God's watching and God knows what's going on, but God wants you to use what God has made available. If God's blessed you and you have a financial need and God has prospered, thank God for it. That's a haven that can protect you in financial times or in certain difficulties, sicknesses, and those kind of things. But there are other times when your heart is broken or your heart is heavy or you're disappointed or you failed at something or you didn't get what you were looking for. The only solace you can find, I mean, I know God can comfort your heart, but sometimes it does good to have somebody to put their arm around you and cry with you, or put their arm around you and pray for you, or just sit there and listen to you and let you pour it all out. Seems like there's a lot more room on the outside than there is on the inside, and you're not near as distressed and perplexed if you could just open up to somebody you could trust to keep your secret and not tell it all over Facebook and the internet. Now, the truth is that oftentimes the storms that come in our life, these things are sufficient for those storms. Now, I'm not leaving God out. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray to God in all those. Sure, you should. But I tell you what, I can pray to God and I get a blessing and I think the Holy Spirit hears and it comforts. But sometimes it's just good
to have somebody. You know, the Bible said it's not good for man to be alone. And he made him a wife. You know why? He needs somebody to talk to and somebody to share his life with and somebody to help him carry the burdens. And somebody to be a shelter, to be a haven when he's got a troubled heart or a troubled mind. So I talk to spiritually minded people all the time that just think you should never have to confess your troubles or talk about them to somebody else. Just give it all to God. I think they're about half crazy is what I think. Somebody say amen. Now, the truth is, though, ladies and gentlemen, that those kinds, and there's a whole lot more, I just have limited time. A lot of times, the havens that you can find in this life are not sufficient. And I could name you a list of those, but I'm going to skip down to just one. These havens are not sufficient to winter in. The Bible said in Acts chapter 27 verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart. Man-made havens, the havens that man can make access to and avail himself of, are good and proper to be used under certain circumstances, but you have to understand that they are limited. There's only so much they can do, and after that, it's either God or nothing. And the greatest haven of rest known to man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need a haven that is commodious to winter in. That commodious, that's one of the big hard words. Oh, we need to rewrite the Bible. It's got commodious in it. Anybody here got a commodious? What does commodious mean? It means good to, good for, acceptable. A haven that is commodious is a haven that is good to winter in. See how complicated that is? Now, you could look that up in a dictionary just one time, and then it's good for the rest of your life. Amen? I don't know anybody that looks a word up and uses it once, and the next time they say it, oh my goodness, I got to go back to the dictionary. We need a haven that is commodious or good to winter in. And the winter I'm referring to here, I'm going to skip over all the others and go right to the biggie. There's a thing called a nor'easter. I used to love the way the old-time sailors talked back before they had Doppler radar and all the fancy gizmos and stuff. Back when they had iron men and wooden ships and you hazarded your life to sail the seven seas. They used to say nor by nor'east, N-O-R. They never said north. It's like them old writers. You ever read the old English writers, those old Puritan writers? They just had a way of saying things that were so crystal clear. Them old sailors had their own vocabulary, and they'd say, we got a nor'easter coming in. Now, a nor'easter was the worst kind of storm you could get in the North Atlantic. It was cold. It was filled with rain. It had gale force winds, and the North Atlantic would get so rough, nobody in his right mind would be out on it. When you had a nor'easter coming, everybody was looking for a safe haven. Amen? You couldn't anchor it down. It would blow your anchors. And so that nor'easter was a killer. And you had to have a real harbor, deep water harbor, to ride a nor'easter out. Now, Psalm 107 verse 30 said, then were they glad because they be quiet, that is the waves. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. What are they looking for? They're looking for a place of rest. They're looking for a place of safety. They're looking for a place where they can winter. When the worst storms of life come, they want shelter. They want to survive the nor'easter. When the storm in our life comes, when time for death comes, when you have that terminal disease, when you have that fatal heart attack, when you have that aneurysm, when you have whatever it is that's going to take your life and put your body below the sod, you're looking for a place where your soul can rest. You're looking for a place where it will be safe. You're looking for a place where it will be secure. You're looking for a place where it can endure. You're looking for a place that no matter what kind of storm comes, no matter how big and how bad and how long it rages, your ship is safe until the winds are calmed and you arrive in your destination. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 9 and 10, there remaineth a rest unto the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest is also has also ceased from his own labors. You know where you can go? There's a haven of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you enter into his rest, you cease from your own. You don't have to toil against the wind. You don't have to row against the waves. You don't have to battle against the elements. Jesus Christ is your secure place. He's your haven of rest. And when you enter into him, you cease from all your labor. All these people that are trying to work their way to heaven and be good enough to go to heaven and trying to get there by works of righteousness or by keeping the law, they are still laboring. They have not entered into the haven of rest. In the haven of rest, you cease from your own labor. And Jesus Christ keeps you safe. For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own labors. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, the Bible said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. I want to enter into that rest. See, 40 plus years ago, I have not done one thing in over 40 years to make my way to heaven. Amen. I've been just sitting in the haven of rest and letting him do it. I'm saved and sealed and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, never spoken tongues one time. Never hit a lick at a snake to deserve heaven. I'm going to heaven entirely on the merit of Jesus Christ. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible said, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified by the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. I have entered the haven of rest. I'm not struggling to make it to heaven anymore. You want rest? You want a safe place where you can lay down and rest, where you can put your head on the pillow and rest and sleep? Then you need to enter the haven of rest, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, I love these verses, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge. That's what a haven is, a place of refuge. That have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is within the veil. Buddy, when you got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and adopted into the family, you entered a haven of rest that is secure against all the storms of life. And when death comes knocking on your door, it is secure and sound, and the waves will lay down and be quiet, and you shall enter that haven of rest on the other side. And when I get to the other side, I'm going to rejoice with my family and friends that have gone on before. I'm going to rejoice with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk up and down Glory Boulevard. I'm going to have the time of my life, because I have entered the haven of rest, and nothing that maketh a lie or defileth or hurteth or harmeth or will bring sadness or sorrow or any other thing can enter into that place. It is a haven of rest for all time and for all eternity. So how'd you get there, preacher? Through Jesus Christ my Lord. You say, can I enter that haven? Oh yeah. It's a big harbor. It's big. You get in, there's all kind of ships. There's Titanics. There's battleships. There's tugboats. And there's rowboats. And there's sail ships and motorboats. There may be somebody in there for all I know.
But it's big enough for all the ships that sail in the sea. Now, they won't all go in. But if you're willing to lay by and anchor in Jesus Christ, when that big nor'easter comes, he will calm the waves and you'll sail into that harbor on the other side. Remember that old song, I See the Lights, the Harbor Lights? Let me tell you a little story. Years ago, I was working for Coley and Peterson Incorporated, mechanical contractor. And one night, I got a phone call about 9 o'clock for a packing house over in Norfolk, Virginia. And they had a pipe had busted underground and was flooding the building. It was like a 9 or a 10-inch pipe. I think it was about this big. Problem is, it's about 10 or 12 feet in the ground. It's under 6 or 8 inches of concrete. And so Mr. Peterson, a fellow owner of our company, sent me and Buddy Keller over to fix it. So we had to get jackhammers and all kind of stuff, and we busted up concrete, and we dug, and had backhoe in there, big old building. It's cold in there, too. It's a packing house. We're wet. We're cold. We're down about 10 feet. We're in the mud. We find the pipe. We go back to our shop and load a piece of pipe and bring it back over and get it down in the hole and get the couplings that go on the end. It's MJ pipe, mechanical joint, and put it all in there and button it all up, and we turn the water on and it don't leak, and we backfill it. We can't pour the concrete, but we fill it back in and all that. And all that took about 40 hours. We stopped one time to eat and had one cup of coffee, because this thing had that plant shut down. I'd never been so tired and so cold in my life. I was hungry. I was exhausted. And I got my little Datsun pickup truck, and I drove home. I got home, oh, it must have been 2 o'clock in the morning. This is the day after. I got down to our house. At that time, we lived out on Malvern Brothers Farm, big old ranch house out there, and had a big long driveway, and it had a crepe myrtle and a pine tree and a crepe myrtle and a pine tree and a split rail fence on both sides, almost a quarter of a mile long, just the driveway, sitting in the middle of 7 acres, beautiful place. And I got to where I turned off of the road to the driveway and almost wrecked my truck. I turned onto that driveway and I looked. And down at the end of that driveway was my house, and there was a single light on. My wife was sitting up. And I knew when I got to that house, that door would open. The most beautiful creature I've ever seen would open that door. Open her arms and receive me into that house. And every time I get to thinking about going home to glory and the waves laying down and the sea being calm, and I look down that driveway, I see that gate swing open, and there stands the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's probably the most beautiful sight, most awesome feeling that I've ever experienced in my life. When I was at my weakest, when I was the coldest, when I had nothing left to offer, I looked up and there was that light, and there was home. That'll do something for you. Nothing else in this world will do. I like remembering that, and I like to equate that with looking down that road, seeing that light, and seeing that door open, and Jesus in open arms. I'll be at my desired haven. It said he taketh them to their desired haven. Don't you want to go? All of you, come and go with me. There's room. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why don't you come?
Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for that blessed haven of rest. I pray, oh God, you deal with everybody's heart. Everybody knows their own condition. I pray, oh Father, you might begin a work in some heart that down the road someplace will bear fruit, and they too will make Jesus Christ their desired haven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.